and gentlemen, and welcome to the second edition of Stephen and Joe's Greatest Movie. My name is Stephen, and you can visit me at Steve_Mellor on Twitter, and I'm with Joe.
Hello, I am Joe.
Who is on Twitter?
I am on Twitter as well, and you can visit me on at Magikel, which is M-A-J-I-K-E-L.
You can visit both of us at Burnt Papyrus.
That's correct.
And Joe, you've got a website as well.
That's right, which is www.jdkelly.info.
And if you want to comment on anything that we're saying now, if you want to send us any messages, you can do so on the Burnt Papyrus website at burntpapyrus.com/pod. That's /pod.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a lot of whoring in one go.
Well, I thought it would be a good way to start things off.
That's a great way of starting things off.
I think we need enough whoring. If you hear any squeaks during the... That's my chair.
That's my my whore horn.
It's my flies. Because I...
<it's>, Don't tell me they've rusted.
Rusted? Of course they have. They haven't had a lot of use recently. I'm in a very silly mood tonight, I have to admit.
The amount of sweatiness. This room is boiling.
It is really hot. Middle of September. No, beginning of October. Jesus. And it's really, really hot.
Yeah.
We are going to watch a film tonight, which is a British science fiction movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, it's got Nick Frost in it. I don't know anything more than that. I've not actually seen a lot of trailers for it.
You know what it's called, though?
I know what it's called.
And you've been looking forward to this
I've been looking forward to this. Because I bought this about three weeks ago now. And I said, we've got to podcast with this. But instead of actually watching it, I thought I'd wait until we got to the podcast.
Yeah.
And now I've been waiting for 3 weeks. And there is something burning into my brain, which is going, watch me! Watch me! So, yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to this.
See, I missed this at the cinema. I just didn't get around to seeing it at the time. There was other stuff on. I had a lot going on. I was kind of like, should I have seen that? Should I have not? I've heard things that I saw from the trailers, because I have seen a few of the trailers. I was interested, but I wasn't sure about it. It seems slightly unorthodox.
So what do you get from the trailers? Because I not seen the trailers at all. The only thing I did was I opened the packet and I sniffed the discs.
Sniffed the discs.
Well, we're on Blu-ray, and
Does Blu-ray smell better than normal
Blu-ray
DVD?
Smells like amyl... No. I was going to say amyl nitrate, but that's not right. It smells kind of nutty, in a way that DVDs don't.
Okay,
There's something in the production process. But some of them have stopped smelling like that.
It smells like plastic.
You see, you've got a pre-smelt one there.
That's pre-smelt. I need a fresh one, do I?
You need a fresh one. Now, I've not watched Season of the Witch very much. Hang on.
You're not going to crack the seal on Season of the Witch just so I can smell a Blu-ray.
No, it's been opened.
But... Oh, okay.
It's still a bit plasticky, but have a go with that. It's a nutty kind of smell. Next time you get a Blu-ray disc, then...
There's something there.
Yeah, it's very faint on that one, but when it's brand new, it smells really nice.
This is the maddest thing I've ever done on a podcast. That was fantastic.
top tip there. If you want to have a good time, smell a Blu-ray.
The trailers I saw from this did give me the impression that everybody said what it was, and it kind of made me go, I'm not sure I want to see it, to watch that film, and that was Chavs versus Aliens.
Because everything on the marketing is kind of, it's like British movie, I know it's somebody, sorry, I know it's Joe Cornish from The Adam and Joe Show who's directed it.
Oh, serious?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Brilliant. I didn't know that.
I think it's his first film. Everything's saying Shaun of the Dead over it, but the other things I've heard about it is that it's not actually a comedy. It's a science fiction film, which they just happened to put Shaun of the Dead all over because it happens to have the same producers.
Yeah.
So, not sure what we're going to watch now, but I'm kind of excited about it at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a... That's the thing, the trailers didn't bill it as a straight comedy, but they were, the voiceover guy was, oh, it's so funny, and...
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's being sold as a comedy when it's not, which might have been what was putting me off from the trailers.
Perhaps.
So what are we watching?
Well, we shall see. So yeah, we are watching Attack the Block from the producers of Shaun of the Dead, Inner City versus Outer Space.
Woo!
And we'll come back in just a few minutes.
We've just finished watching Attack the Block.
Brett, 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 you get me, dough.
I get you, dog. Don't ever do that.
No, no, I'm never doing that again.
That was brilliant.
It was really good, wasn't it?
That's really not what I was expecting. That's okay.
What were you expecting? What was it?
I don't know. I think from the what little I'd seen of advertisements and then what people had told me, they were like, oh, yeah, it's Chaz versus Aliens. That doesn't explain what we've just watched properly.
Not in the slightest. Not. No, because it wasn't Chaz versus Aliens ultimately, was it? It was
not quite.
I suppose it was really...
There's an element of that, but it doesn't...
There's a sort of a redemption thing in there, in the middle of it, though, isn't there, as well? It's,
There's a lot going on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, there's a hell of a lot going on.
It was really well thought out in terms of, the plot wasn't just a basic, yay, let's watch aliens stab people and watch kids try and blow them up. There was actually... The character development for all of the characters was pretty decent.
I like the fact, I'm trying not to give anything away in case anyone hasn't seen it, and I'm sure there's people who listen who haven't, but I like the fact that it doesn't follow the same trope as every other slasher movie where there's a group of kids and they all die at the end.
Mm.
There's more interesting things happen than that.
Yeah. It's also when it first started up, I think I even commented it at the time, it started to show all the things, like it got some money from the lottery, Film 4's been involved.
Yeah.
And then when the film started up, the quality of it, it was higher quality than like TV, but it all felt really, it's a British film, obviously, it's made in such a way that it's got a lot of indie feel to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's very indie. I mean, I think a lot of films have got... They're sort of very indie.
I suppose quite a few. But British films, mostly.
Yeah.
But that whole... I suppose Shaun of the Dead had a bit of an indie feel to it, but not... But it was a bit more polished than that, if that makes sense.
Kingdom of the Crystal Skulls had a bit of an indie feel about it.
Oh. But no, I just... The way it was shot just felt kind of quite raw, and it wasn't.
It felt very British. I think if you've seen any British shorts, it's very, very British.
Oh yeah. That's the thing. For a British short, it was very polished, but for a large budget film, which I guess it wasn't huge budget.
Well, it wasn't a large budget film. British films are never large budget films. That's part of the problem.
American films, yeah. But yeah, I
thought they did it really well. I thought I loved the aliens in it. I thought they were brilliant.
Yeah, nice that it was what I think is almost exclusively physical effects.
Yeah, I think so. I didn't see anything that sort of jumped out as being a digital effect at all, apart from the bit at the beginning with the meteors.
Yeah, but that was fine.
But yeah,
I think the effect on the monsters' darks were made darker and.
Grading's been done, I'm sure.
Loads of little touches like that, but there is a physical thing there they're interacting with, and
I think that makes a difference.
Yeah,
I really think that makes a difference. I mean, just from an acting point of view, it's got to be something that if you can actually physically interact with an object in front of you,
I think you can still tell. I think there is something still to be said for physical effects. I mean, even going back to films like. Aliens and so on. The physical effects, you can see it. I think your brain can still recognize digital effects.
I think that's just part of the reason why things like Gollum, the characters like Gollum, have been so popular.
Yeah.
Have been so well done as well. It's because they got somebody physically doing it. You know, it's not just animated. It's somebody actually doing mocap. They call it.
Yeah,
which
except. Jar Jar bloody Binks. But yeah, Attack the Block, see. If you haven't seen it, see.
Yeah, no, watch that film. It's a brilliant film.
The one thing that really
made me sit back and go, wow. And I probably shouldn't sit back and go, wow, in such a reverent way, was the gore.
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of gore.
But really well done. Again, physical effect stuff. Yeah, but yeah, just very visceral.
Actually,
well.
No, there was one bit. I wasn't convinced about the blood. About the blood on the police van.
Yeah.
Other than that, I didn't notice, and there was nothing else that sort of took me away from it.
There was one bit where one of the creatures smashes through a door and bites a character's leg. And both of us sat back from the screen and went, ooh! We could feel that.
You could almost feel horrible. That.
Yeah,
you really could.
It was brilliant. Just so much fun. And that's the thing.
But for characters that have got, and I'm not giving anything away by saying they've got glowing teeth.
No.
But for that, I would have expected there to be some sort of venom subplot.
You'd think, but it just didn't need it, I guess.
No. Well, I don't think it does.
This is the thing. I think you were right in your slightly right in your preconceptions in that it's not a comedy film.
No, but there's some very funny bits in it.
It's done as a serious film, but the few touches of comedy in it are perfect.
Which brings me to my favourite line in it, which was when a guy gets
a hipster.
A drug dealer.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
with a gun, gets out of a lift, which has two dead bodies and one of the creature dead bodies in it, and there's blood all on the inside of the lift.
And all over him as well.
And there's someone standing, waiting for a lift, and he goes, "You better get the next one. You get me." Blood. It's the blood, you know? It's that...
Yeah. There were some great moments.
There's some really, really good moments. There's some fantastic use of language as well.
Yeah, in terms of getting some London slang.
I have to say, I didn't understand really well what they were talking about for the first sort of 10 minutes of the film.
See, I feel a bit ashamed that I did understand what they were talking about.
I think my ear suddenly... You get into it. You hit that. Oh, that's what that means. And that's what... It's things like fam. If you've not had a...
Fam as in family.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm going to sound terribly middle class now. Having a grown-up background as my brother got into the Wu-Tang Clan...
Really?
When I was a younger lad.
Your brother got into the Wu-Tang Clan?
Yes, he was...
Which Wu-Tang was he? right, yeah.
Yeah. But no, when I was younger, my brother was heavily into, like, he listened to a lot of Dr. Dre. I listened to things like NWA as well, and even going to, like, more white middle class rap.
What, Vanilla Ice?
No, not that middle class. No, things like Dog Eat Dog, which is kind of like got a scar edge, but it's got like a lot of rhyming slang in it, and there's lots of that kind of element to it. And, I wouldn't profess to be an expert by any stretch of the imagination whatsoever, but I don't know, just some of it just made a lot of sense in terms of things I've heard. But,
I think... From what I read beforehand, that it's actually very close. The slang's very good. It's it's pretty spot on to what it is.
Is Joe Cornish either from London or lives in London? So it wouldn't surprise me if he knows people who speak that language and wrote.
Well, I think he probably went away and actually
researched.
Yeah,
it was cool.
Wouldn't surprise me because an awful lot of work went into that. You could tell.
Yeah. That it was right throughout. But getting back to the...
Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if... Because there's a character in this who is a very, very middle class sort of stoner.
The hipster guy. It just makes me giggle. He's one of my favourite characters because he was so effing useless.
See, I wouldn't be surprised if that was Joe Cornish's way of putting himself into the movie.
Yeah, totally.
Pudding. God, I'm
pudding.
I'm dropping letters all over the place. You know, I'm going so strict. I really am.
You're going to say I was dropping ketamine. Then I was like, what, Stephen? Not on a podcast. We're going to trouble.
Well, you know, They can't find us.
Bit of horse tranquilizer that smooths out every podcast I've ever done. But yeah, it's just loads of little comedy things which I loved. Even stuff that doesn't need to be referenced. There are things like one of the kids wearing a green t-shirt that says Granny Magnet on it. Just made me crease, even though it was just like... They didn't reference her or anything. It was just in shot for a couple of seconds. And he keeps his hoodie zipped up for most of it, so you don't see it. And it just,
but then, yeah,
just
then
made
when you
me
do,
smirk.
Just, yeah, yeah.
And a lot nice touches.
I think this film's a very repeatable film. I think you could go back, you could watch it again and again and again.
Yeah.
And you could notice different things every time. And yeah, I think possibly what you actually bring to the movie, you take away from it as well. So if you come with these preconceptions of youths being horrible gangs of youths and every one of them is nasty and out to get you, then I think you could quite easily go away from the film with that same feeling.
I think you see
the character development, but essentially what happens is that these people who are portrayed as not very nice people in the beginning of the film still aren't very nice people at the end of the film, but happen to have, you know, they happen to like the place they live in to such an extent that they've defended it. It's not my night tonight. That they've defended it against this alien race.
I completely agree. I did find it difficult at first watching it, and then they started following the main characters, and I just felt these aren't likable main characters. At the beginning, I'm kind of watching it for them to get their comeuppance.
Yay! And they never. Well,
they kind of half do.
I don't think they necessarily do it in the sort of Hollywood way.
No.
You wouldn't. It's not like a slasher movie where kids having sex at the beginning of the film. You know they're going to die halfway through.
Yeah.
That's the first victim. You know, it's that sort of thing. It's not like that at all. And I think it benefits from being not like that as well. I think it's much better because of it.
Well, it's also like I found it very clever in the way that I disliked the characters. I was waiting for them to get their comeuppance, and then found that when they were managing to get away, I was actually
getting
excited.
You're kind of rooting for them a bit,
yeah, because they were genuinely being, I don't know how to describe it. They were just going for it, and you kind of go, yeah, yeah, go for it. And it's like there's a in the first third of the film, there's a chase scene. There's too many of these things coming at them, and they all get on to bikes and whatnot. The pedal bikes and the moped.
Two of them get onto a sort of proper full-size bike. Okay, one of them's a moped, but one of them is a sort of dirt bike. Yeah. One of them gets onto this tiny little thing.
It's a mini bike.
With a mini bike. And the other two are on a single push bike.
Yeah, I like the way that the proper-sized motorcycle, they only took one on, but the push bike, one of them's got backsies.
Yeah.
They had not thought that through.
No.
They were under duress.
That was the point, though, wasn't it? That they don't think things through. Yes. It's very much a sort of coming-of-age tale.
Yeah, yeah.
And in more ways than one, because you've got Props and Mayhem.
Oh, yes.
As this sort of subplot, who were brilliant.
Two little tiny kids.
Nine years old.
We're following the teenage kids, but then the little nine-year-olds who are trying to be gangster blood, yeah? It's so good. They were cute in a really disturbing way.
Yeah,
we want to set things on fire kind of
way. It's the only time I've watched something and thought, yeah, I really hope they become gangsters. Because they, you know, they wanted it so much.
They deserve
it's like watching X Factor. They want it so much.
Now, I kind of, what's weird is I'm thinking about this film in terms of comparing it to other films. It does have a proper adventure film feel to it.
The last bit in particular is very Die Hard.
Not action, but adventure. In a very weird and very abstract way, there in that coming-of-age way, it had a little bit of a touch of a modern Goonies to it.
No, you're right, actually. You're right.
Following a bunch of kids. They're going through something they don't understand, are scared, and are just dealing with it as adventurers. And I know,
this is a point where we say to Stephen King, this is how you write a coming-of-age story. Stand By Me, brilliant. I was rubbish in
really?
Comparison.
Oh, in comparison to this?
To this, yeah.
Well,
this
no,
was
again, I compare it, because this is a modern
It's a modern take. It kind of is, isn't it?
Thing.
It kind of is. Only the where they get to in Stand By Me is a very sort of... I was going to say personal. It's not. It's a very real thing that you could possibly... Fine, and then in because again, people might not have seen Stand By Me either, and probably that's another film. That
it's on the list.
It's on the list.
In all fairness, everything's on the list. So,
yeah. This is a very coming of age thing. I think that's a good description for it. Also, I think it's interesting that the gang of kids. Seem to be the only people in the whole film who can actually deal with what's happening. Yeah. You've got drug dealers with guns who've seen these creatures and kind of still don't believe it.
Yeah.
You've got the police who seem to just surround the area and still won't do anything. You know? All of the adults seem to be staying inside or have gone outside. And the only people who can deal with this is this gang of kids who usually... Not only would you possibly, you cross the street to avoid, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Let's face it. But you might even consider just walking home a different way if you saw them around.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is the thing. I think anybody listening to this podcast would go, what, bunch of kids? They had flick knives, all right? You would go a different way. When we see gang of youths, they're not just like a bunch of kids playing stickball in the street. They're a bunch of... properly hooded, masked, and they've got flick knives, you'd go a different way.
One of the things I've often heard about the criticism towards the way that the media portrays youths is that they are all hooded with flick knives.
Yeah.
And whereas I don't think that is a particularly good representation of everybody who is around the 18-year-old age range, that is certainly true of some.
Yeah.
And this is what we're looking at now. This is the type of group we're looking at.
And this is clearly what we should be doing with these youths.
What, making them fight aliens?
Yes.
It's a little bit difficult.
Why?
Well, I mean, we have to find aliens. Make some aliens.
That's right.
Make some aliens.
Illegal aliens?
Okay, yeah, we could do that. Mexico would be empty very quickly.
But yeah, in terms of this, I really enjoyed that film. I sound surprised at that. I am actually a little bit surprised how much I enjoyed it.
I'm not surprised because I think probably because I knew it was Joe Cornish before we started, and I've seen his stuff from from the Adam and Joe show, and I've seen all of that, and I kind of have a sense of okay, it's going to be that good at least.
But the thing, Adam and Joe show was very off the wall.
Oh yeah,
and very silly and surreal and stuff. This was although sci-fi and had some comedy in it, just had a really good serious plot in there as well. It was really well thought out.
Even the silliest and most comical of comedy films, I think, still needs to have a decent plot in there. Even Blazing Saddles has got a decent plot in there.
Are you sure?
Yeah. It's not a particularly expanded plot, but it's a fairly decent one, you know. You need it, otherwise there's nothing to hang the comedy off.
True. I'm just thinking of the end of Blazing Saddles where it breaks into the studio lots and just going, where has the storyline gone? I'm not sure what's going on anymore.
It's a very Monty Python ending for a Mel Brooks film, isn't it?
Yes.
Although, I don't know if we should be surprised about that. I mean, well, he wrote for Sid Caesar, and it was...
Yeah.
I could talk about Mel Brooks. We can do that when we watch...
We watch Mel Brooks films.
My big box set of Mel Brooks films, which I've got down there.
All the Brooks films.
All the Brooks films, all the time.
With Attack the Block, weirdly, I happily watch the characters again.
Hmm.
I actually doubt they'll make a sequel in any way.
I doubt that the British film industry will have the money to make a sequel, but, you know...
But
I,
if they did...
You'd watch it,
I'd actually be up for watching it.
I'm not sure if they would do a science fiction thing again, or if they'd do it in a different way and, you know, bring a different element into the thing. I don't know, but either way...
It's definitely good that I think... When you have films this good that are coming from sort of British film industry, it does help to inject stuff back into it and hopefully mean that more stuff like this, not in terms of the same plot and that kind of thing, but
you see, I think that's
projects
the thing that's,
like this.
I think just, that's the thing that's actually very, very much a shame about this film is that actually that's not true.
Really?
It should be true. It really should, but it isn't, because the things that get all of the press, it's the King's Speech, and it's Four Weddings and a Funeral, and it's whatever gangster film has just been released. Because in Britain, we tend to make gangster films, or we make films with the royal family in, and that's it. You're a gangster film, and a film with the royal family in.
I'm a royal gangster film.
You're a royal gangster. That's
or a gangster family? I don't know.
No, the gangster family. It's like a throwback to the Addams Family, only with gangsters in.
You need Tommy guns for that, I swear.
But I genuinely, this really shows you what you can do with the British film industry.
Yeah.
That you can make films that are not only supported by government initiatives and by fairly big companies, I think, you know, like Channel 4, the lottery funds were put into doing this.
Studio Canal was in there.
Studio
as well.
Canal was in there. Studio Canal Film 4, UK Film Council, which name
that was the UK Film,
doesn't exist. But I think there's another way that they're going to pass the funding down, so it kind of still exists. To some extent, anyway. But we can do these things. You know, we make good films. We always have made good films. And it's annoying that we only seem to try and compete with America when it comes to things that America stereotypically sees as being British, like gangsters in the royal family. I'm sure if Richard Curtis made a heartwarming comedy about a gangster who took over the royal family, it would be an absolute hit in America. That wouldn't necessarily mean that it's a particularly good film. You know, we can make really, really, really good films in this country, and it wouldn't take a lot. If we just took everybody who pays a license fee, if we just went to everybody who pays a license fee and said, look, we will give you free films on the telly, we'll make them, but we're just going to add a pound on.
That would be amazing.
Right? To every license
Everyone would just say yes.
Or maybe two. All right? Not a lot.
To be honest, I think the majority of people would pay a fiver.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think a lot
That'd
of people
would.
Be
a would. Lot of money.
All you'd have to do, you'd turn up to a cinema, and the cinemas, you'd have to force the cinemas to show the things.
I think they'd be okay with it.
I think they probably would, and they'd probably make money on concessions.
Oh, God,
and, you
yes.
know. But you'd have to, but anybody could turn up with their TV license and get in for free, because they've already paid for the damn film.
Yeah.
So if you could do that, and you could fund it, fun films that aren't just the same tragic comedies or pithy romances or royal historical wank fests. I'm going to have to cut that out. I want to... Yeah. But no, honestly...
Cut that out. That's brilliant.
No, honestly, no, that's
right.
how I
you
feel
so
about
right. no,
a lot of these things. There is
it
nothing wrong.
Take a lot for
there
us
is
to all band together and create.
Nothing
good film.
Wrong with The King's Speech.
No.
Or Slumdog. Mm. Or, which, okay, we didn't have that much to do with. Or The Queen. Or Four Weddings and a Funeral. The Boat That Rocks. You know, there is nothing wrong with it. Mm. But I can't believe
it's the only
style of films that we can produce in this country. And Attack the Block proves that it isn't.
Well, thing is,
now give us some money.
Where can they donate?
BurntPapyrus.com. Give me all your cash.
/ give me all your
cash. Yes, that's right. Yeah.
The thing is, Have you seen the, what is it, Return to the Planet of the Apes? No, it's...
I've seen them all.
The thingy, the newest one.
Oh, no, I haven't seen the newest one. That's the only one I have.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes,
yeah.
I'm willing to bet this is better than Rise of the Planet of the Apes. We're going to have to watch Rise of the Planet of the Apes
I'm not sure you're right. I've got a feeling that they've actually put a hell of a lot of work into Rise of the Planet of the Apes. It's been very popular for a very long time, and a lot of people have said how good it is. However, I think this would stand side by side Rise of the Planet of the Apes without any problem at all.
I would say if you took away the rest of the Apes series, put Rise on its own, without, with no preconception of any of the rest of the Planet of the Apes series, the originals, all the hype and all the sort of storytelling that's happened. I think if you had none of those have been released, you'd release Rise of the Planet of the Apes and you release Attack the Block. I think, me personally, I would prefer Attack the Block.
Now, I can see why you're saying that. I get that.
I think there's more story being told in Attack the Block than you would get in a lot of blockbusters.
Oh, completely. And you know, actually, I would take this over any Michael Bay film any day.
Oh, yeah. And actually, you had a lot of action in this film.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tons of it.
We're talking British film and an alien thing. It was packed full of action. Quite a few times. There was action sequences that happened. And I was getting into it. I wasn't aware that I was getting into it. But then when the end of an action sequence happened, when they get away or get caught or something explodes or whatever, I noticed you and me sitting back and going, oh.
And now at the end of the film as well,
we both
kind of went, oh.
Yeah.
At the end, it was a fairly intense experience watching it.
Yeah.
But in a good way.
Oh, brilliant.
You know, in a I'd do that again right now kind of way.
I think this is actually... I'm happy putting this above They Live.
Really? That's interesting. No, you...
I love They Live, but I love They Live for the kitsch kind of cult kind of... I love it because it's stupid, but this was a really good film.
They Live is a movie that has something to say about society as a whole as well.
Yeah.
And can be entertaining on more than... I don't really want to say that, but it's kind of true. Can be entertaining on more than one level at the same time. As an intellectual, you can watch They Live and you will get something out of it. As just a normal layman who just likes horror films or likes action films, you can watch They Live and do the same thing. I'm not sure the same is true of Attack the Block.
That's fair.
But I think that as anybody, you can watch Attack the Block and you can get into that place where you are in the midst of the action.
Okay.
And I don't know.
No, okay, I'm happy with people putting
really
They Live above Attack the Block, but can we do a side-by-side?
I think we might have to.
I'm okay with that. As we get more films, it may diversify this, but I think...
I've got a feeling at some point we're going to go, well, actually, that was better than this, but it wasn't as good as this.
Yeah.
And that'll go in the middle.
Yeah.
But yeah,
we'll figure something
out.
We'll put it up on the site and get that leaderboard going.
Join first place at the moment.
Join first place.
I think
I'm happy with that.
We've got a lot of films to go.
Yeah.
I don't think either of them will be at first for very long.
No, I think we've got a lot of good films coming up. I'm also throwing some proper stinkers into the mix as well, because I think we have to.
No, you're right. We do. We have to watch everything as much as we can.
Because there might be. I mean, at some point, I think it's Rotten Tomatoes' worst film ever is Biodome.
Oh, I don't mind watching it again.
I think we'd have to watch Biodome because I think that's unjust. I think there are far worse films than Biodome.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. It's not a great film. It's not particularly funny, but I do remember kind of enjoying it when it was released.
I remember enjoying it. I remember laughing at it. I remember there were things that made me laugh.
Silly laughing at it. It's something just so ridiculous about it that
it's idiotic. and best enjoyed really high.
Or completely drunk.
Yes. Which, I suppose...
Could we do either.
Yeah. Well, could we get drunk and watch it?
We could get drunk and watch it.
That might affect the placement of it, but
I don't think it will because
we'll be objective drunk.
It's not going to be the only time we're going to be drunk and watching films and True. Doing a podcast afterwards. I refer you to a couple of weeks' time.
Oh yeah,
where we're going to be having a special podcast for my 33rd birthday. We're recording on the day of my 33rd birthday. And we will both be getting drunk. I will be getting very drunk.
Yeah, you will.
I still don't know what films I'm going to choose yet. I think I might wait until the week of...
And are we doing three films?
Three or four.
I kind of... Because it's your 33rd, I kind of want to do three.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, no, that makes sense. I might have to find a trilogy then.
Ooh. Okay, well, see what you think, because...
I'll tell you what we could do.
Put a lot of things together.
So. We could ask people who are listening in podcast world.
Oh, there you
if
go.
I'll release this as soon as possible. Come and tell us what you'd like to hear. We will rant about anything, I'm sure.
Pretty much. Yeah, give us your film recommendations.
Give us your film recommendations to go on the list.
Where can they email to?
We'll set something up on Facebook. And I tell you what, email to podcast@burntpapyrus.com.
And obviously, if you would rather, please message us on Twitter.
Twitter, @BurntPapyrus, or @Steve_Mellor, or @MAJIKEL.
MAJIKEL. Yeah. I've probably got to find an easier Twitter name.
Well, you've got JD Kelly as well, haven't you?
JD_Kelly. Yeah, that works too.
But yeah, get in touch with us and find out. We will put stuff on Facebook as well, but I'm guessing our Facebook friends will see all of that. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'll put links on the website as well. burntpapyrus.com/pod is going to be the podcast homepage.
That's where our leaderboard will be.
That's where the leaderboard will be. And we'll
update it as we see films together on the podcast. We're not counting separate films that we've watched. It's only when we're watching them together so we can
I think
analyze
at
them.
Some point we might have to do a we'll watch it and then we'll come and record, because otherwise we won't have enough time to, because I'd have loved to have done another film tonight.
Yeah.
But it's now 11:15.
Yeah, that's probably pushing it, if we're watching another film and then doing that was just to mention as well.
Yeah.
Tat the Block. Mm. At the end of it, I felt like we'd been here for a good couple of hours.
But it's only about an hour and a half.
Yeah, hour and 27.
1:27. Yeah.
1:27.
Yeah. Having said
not
that,
not a long film.
It
That's
doesn't.
Good.
It feels like it's a long time that you're watching it. It doesn't drag.
No, not at all. I was
it
hooked
feels
all the way.
Like you've had, I think
we'd experienced a lot in that film.
It feels like you've had a bigger experience than the time that it's taken to have that experience.
Yeah.
Very good. I enjoyed that a lot. I'm kind of glad I waited and we did this as a podcast.
Yeah, this was great.
Part of me is wishing that I'd watched it beforehand so I could have watched it twice already.
Well, I'm sure we'll watch it again, because that was well worth it. And I know now that, because we're going to recommend it, and because we are recommending it, that friends of mine will want to watch it and say, oh, I really feel like watching this. And,
I think a lot of people are going to want to watch it, and I think actually it might end up being, because it's a bit like Goonies.
Yeah.
And Gremlins and that kind of thing.
That classic adventure, which is missing a lot at the moment. There's
films
pulling that
very
off.
Little of it around. And I've got a feeling that it's going to be quite big on DVD. And probably one of those films that when it comes on to TV, that the current youth culture is going to kind of grab hold of, in the same way that we grabbed hold of things like Dark Crystal and Labyrinth and that and stuff like that.
Weird Science,
yeah. And Biggles.
Oh, God, no.
I think it's going to be one of those. I just had a thought. Maybe.
It was nice as well today, before we did the podcast, looking at DVDs in a supermarket at their sort of cheap bargain bins.
Yeah, well, there's a ton of brilliant DVDs fantastic films that are around £3 to £5 on DVD.
I bought Dragon Slayer for £3.
And we will have to watch that at some
point. Yeah, we will.
I haven't seen this film in ages.
Me neither. Yeah, probably years and years and years.
I've got a feeling that we'll put it on and it'll just seem really slow.
Oh, it's probably going to seem terrible. I'm pretty sure the effects are going to be dreadful.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
But it's got okay. dragons in it.
That's okay. I like Doctor Who. Exactly. That's fine. I can handle that.
But yeah, it was just nice to see that bargain bins these days... I remember when I was younger, bargain bins were associated with bad films. Just properly.
Well, there weren't as many releases around. We've had a good 20 years worth of releases since.
Yeah, and it's just
either of us were really that young.
Carlito's Way was £4, I think it was. Yeah. £4 or £5, which is a really good film.
It is.
And it's Pacino and things like that. And it's just... And just looking through these shelves of really cheap films, just thinking, there's loads of good stuff here. And I think it's nice that people want... If people listen to podcasts and stuff like this, I really recommend go out there, go through these DVD bins, and if you've got, like, a smartphone, just type in some of the film titles and see what... And if people are saying good stuff about it, £3. Don't have a pork chop.
Yeah.
Get a film. And watch something and see if it's any good. It might be naff, in which case, take it down to a cash converter or whatever, or pass it on to a friend of yours going, this is terrible, watch this.
Bad films have their place in society, yeah, exactly. I think.
But the likelihood these days is that you'll actually pick up a really good film.
Mm. Just at random as well. I mean, there's things like Never Ending Story. if you like kids, I picked up the special edition of The Princess Bride for about £4.
Yeah,
it's got two discs in. It's got commentaries and stuff on it as well. It's brilliant for £4. It's perfect. It's £4. That's what more do you want for £4? And similarly, you can get big box sets worth of stuff. I noticed. Pink Panther, I think, the other day for about £15.
Yep.
For all of the Pink Panther films.
Wow.
Great.
That's awesome.
And there was...
For £5, you got Airplane 1 and 2.
And 2,
set.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
pretty cool. I was tempted by that one.
For £20, there's a whole Norman Wisdom thing. We've got to watch a couple of Norman Wisdom films because sure. they are really good. For not much more, I think sort of £30 or £40, you can get the entire collection of Harold Lloyd films. All of his old black and white stuff.
Okay.
And if you like slapstick, then watch some silent comedy. It's brilliant. That's all it is. There was nothing else. There's no there's no wordplay or anything in there. There weren't any words, you know.
We'll have to watch The Plank at some point.
Yes.
That's a great classic.
Mr. H is late as well.
I've never seen that.
Have you never seen
no,
it?
No, I've never seen Mr.
There
H,
were four
Mr.
films. H. The Plank being one of them. Mr. H is later, the other one. There's a golf one. Which I can't remember. I've got all of them. We can watch all of them in an afternoon because they're only about half an hour long. They're not very long.
I remember when I was a kid, my dad sort of sat me down and made me watch The Plank. He's like, you have to watch it. I was like, what is it about? He said, it's about a plank. I was like,
yeah, it's true.
That sounds boring, Dad. Trust me.
Yeah.
There I was, fixated for the whole thing. That was brilliant. Is there more? No. Well, it's just that one thing. Oh.
Eric Sykes is an absolute genius.
Yeah.
Not in a true sense of the word, in a kind of pejorative, I really like his work kind of way. although he did write some Goon shows, so you could probably... quite happily say that he was actually a proper genius.
Not Albert Einstein, more Brian Blessed. I think most people, a large amount of the population would go, Brian Blessed, yeah, he's a genius.
Not really
a genius, but he's brilliant.
Gordon's alive!
Please can we do a Flash Gordon?
Yeah, of course we can. every film ever made,
every
remember?
Every film ever, with the exception of There's like a few, I think we said, that we should probably just shouldn't do.
There are no exceptions.
No. I've heard so many bad things about things like Human Centipede and stuff.
I don't want to watch Human Centipede.
No. I think Human Centipede, the story makes it sound horrifically sick and gruesome. I can deal with that.
But Human Centipede 2?
Yeah, I've heard about that as well.
They banned Human Centipede 2. I think basically because the censors watched it and went, this is just rubbish.
Well, that's the thing. Apparently, I haven't watched it, so I can't comment. But apparently friends of mine who have watched Human Centipede just said, yeah, the idea for the plot makes it sound like it could be this cool horror film or shock film, sick film. And apparently it's just really bad, just boring and just...
It wouldn't surprise me.
It was just a mess. And I was, oh, great. Point.
I think it was only worth making just so that... South Park could do the Human Scent iPad episode, yes, which is stunning.
That's an interesting choice of words. Stunning's not what I would have used.
It's very funny, and I wasn't expecting it, put it that way. I'm so sorry, Kyle! Brilliant.
Well,
I'm just sorry, I'm just trying to find Human Centipede on the BBFC. BBFC have this wonderful app that tells you...
BBFC app?
Yeah, tells you about things. Human Centipede 2 full sequence has been given an R certificate. I don't quite know what that means. I think it's...
R is essentially like an 18, but a bad. It's restricted.
It's a horror sequel in which a vulnerable and disturbed individual who's sexually obsessed with the first film, attempts to create his own human centipede. And like the first Human Centipede, this work presents graphic images of sexual violence, forced defecation and mutilation, and the viewer is invited to experience the event from the perspective of the central character.
As in central in the centipede? Or in the plot line.
No, I don't think it's central as in the centipede.
Okay, because that would basically just be two arse cheeks and a full mouth. That's not...
What do you mean, that's my weekend?
Wow.
Two arse cheeks and a full mouth. It does sound a little bit like a film by Werner Herzog. Talking of which, his 3D film is out on DVD soon, and we have to watch that.
Okay.
Caves of something or other. But there are these caves in a place which I don't know.
And they're in 3D.
No, but they've got paintings on them, wall drawings that are made by a very early civilization, and they only let people in at certain times of the year.
Okay.
And so Werner Herzog said, you've got to let me film it. And so the film is essentially a tour through these caves. But I think it'd just be an amazing thing to see.
That sounds really interesting,
you know?
Yeah. Even just as like a little curiosity piece.
Yeah, I don't even think it's something we need review for this. I think it's just something everyone should watch, because it is...
Oh, I think it'd be an interesting thing to just do as a little mini extra.
We could do a mini, an episodette.
Yeah. Like the cartoon before the movie. Only a little bit more serious, I guess.
Cartoon before... I like the idea of that. Having a cartoon before a movie.
I always like doing a like Tom and Jerry cartoon before a movie. It's a nice way.
But they should do that more. The thing is, they shouldn't do it on kids' films, because kids get spoiled anyway. Yeah, they should do it on adult
cartoon
films.
Before the cartoon.
They should do it. Yeah, the film before the Human Centipede. Roadrunner. Where Wile E. Coyote tries to lure Roadrunner into a trap with two other Roadrunners.
Defecating in each other's mouths. I don't think that's quite the spirit of the idea, really.
No, but...
I've just made myself a little bit sad inside. I've just taken a childhood memory and just...
And sewn it onto the arse of another one.
No! Don't even... Oh, you're making it worse.
Oh. I don't know. Who's going to listen to this and just see two idiots laughing at one another?
I smack my own hand. Bad joke. No biscuits. But yes, in short, go and see Attack the Block. It was great.
Yeah. Rent it, buy it, whatever. Buy it.
I think that's collection
worthy. I think you're right.
I'm going to put it in mind, definitely.
Yeah, I think that's a collectionable piece.
And we'll see you next time. We'll see you for the special.
For the special, yes.
For Stephen's birthday special.
Birthday special on the 19th, 20th, 21st.
When we put it up.
When we put it up, yeah. It won't go up on the 19th. We're doing it on the evening of the 19th and on the 20th. So,
oh, 20th, 21st. In fact, on the 19th of October.
19th of October.
On the 19th of October.
Send me your presents.
We will be live tweeting the podcast.
Oh, yes. Yes, we will.
So we will be tweeting whilst we're watching the films. If you want to be involved in the podcast and give your 2 cents for the films that we're watching,
we'll be Facebooking as well. We will have a group by then.
I'll probably have a laptop open whilst we watch the film, and if you guys message us and tweet us your messages, and I may read one or two of them out as we podcast.
I'm thinking we should do Indie now.
Not the fourth one.
No, well, we said 3 films, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, sorry, no, there are 4 indie films. 5 indie films.
Oh, yeah.
Aren't there?
No, kind of 5, because there was
the fifth one.
One
is the... I might have made a word that up.
Crystal Skulls 4.
Where are we? Yeah, no, you're right. Crystal Skulls is 4.
Last Crusade, Temple of Doom, and Raiders. This is all in reverse order, obviously. But I think there was
I was counting Last Crusade twice for some reason.
With Young and the Indiana Jones TV series, I think there was an expanded episode. I don't know if it was...
Was that the Dracula one?
Might have been. I had a feeling it was a World War One.
I think it was
Somme or something.
No, I think it was still
like
a World War One with Dracula in it.
1101.
But I might have made that up. I don't know.
I don't know. No, they did reference Hammer Horror and things like that. And it, some of it was indie in Hollywood.
Or we could watch Hammer.
We could do Hammer.
Universal. I don't know. Tweet us. Tell us what you want to listen to.
If we want to do 3 completely different films. But it is your birthday.
You know that I will watch virtually anything.
Yeah, pretty much.
apart from Sex in the City. Can we put the Sex in the City films under Biggles already? I don't think we should have to watch them.
I have seen the first one, and I'm happy to bury it underneath my patio.
in a kind of Fred Westy kind of way. Right. Okay.
Normally I would say no, that's horrible and offensive, but...
But so is Sex in the City, yeah. So...
wow. That's a comparison we probably shouldn't make. Too late. But yeah, no, I'm happy to just put them at the bottom of the list. Actually, yeah, that's a pretty good... If something goes below them, we know it's bad.
Titanic! I can't stand that.
Yeah, but...
I fell asleep when I went to see dragged to see Titanic.
At what point did you fall asleep?
I don't know, the titles rolled.
You missed out on Billy Zane. It's the only thing that saves Titanic is Billy Zane being Billy Zane.
To be honest,
he's not playing a character, he's playing himself.
Yeah, but I mean, I could take that in something like The Phantom.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to doing The Phantom.
Oh, we've got to do Slam Evil.
Slam Evil, best tagline for a movie ever. We could do a retro comic book character, do like Dick Tracy, The Shadow, and The Phantom. Mm. That would be a great evening to do.
That would be a very, very good evening.
Dick Tracy, man, I haven't seen that in a long time. Is that Warren Beatty?
No,
Warren
Beatty as Dick Tracy, Madonna as... Terrible. Throaty McGargle. It's a long time since I've seen it.
Weren't you a Watergate?
Haven't I seen your film where you do Dallas? No.
Madonna does Dallas.
We've got to...
No, we don't have to do Debbie Does Dance.
I was going to say, we've got to do things like The Social Network as well.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some really, really good stuff that we haven't even thought about doing yet.
True.
And we might not if you don't tell us about it. So get on, tell things.
Send us messages.
Yeah, messages.
We've given you
there.
All the links already. We're not going to say them again because you can just rewind and listen.
It's right at the very beginning as well. I've made it as easy as possible.
You probably should have written it down, in all fairness.
Yeah, I mean, what are you doing listening to a podcast, maybe driving along in a car, I don't know, walking on a tube without
knitting.
A piece of paper and a pen and a laptop handy?
Honestly.
I don't know, the level of listener that we get to this thing.
Thank you very much for listening. And we'll see you on the special. And take care.
Good night.
Bye.